Anybody else this morning? I'm going to break a little bit into our teaching. Then, are you watching the kids, man? Your kids? I'm going to break a little bit in the teaching, then excuse you, okay? We're in Psalm 103 today, if you want to turn to Psalm 103. One of our songs today, if you notice, was Bless the Lord, O My Soul. And that's what this psalm is all about here. Bless the Lord, O My Soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. God has benefits. There are great benefits to following the Lord. Even the painful benefits are beneficial to us because God is good. He's always looking out for our good. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. This year at camp, it was shortened from the normal week down to just two nights. Sunday, we brought baptism right into the media event, then had our fellowship dinner. A few of us stayed for that night and through Monday there, a beautiful day. And we left Tuesday morning. But in previous years, we've gathered together. And one of those years, we actually celebrated this Psalm 103. And we try to count all the benefits of God. Do you remember that? Does anybody remember that? We got these pieces of paper down, and the kids were writing that down, trying to come up with all these things. And it really forced you into, out of that normal things that you thank God for, it pushed you and drove you into that place of like realizing that there's so many things. There's countless blessings. And we maybe got into 1,000, I don't know, it was in the multiple hundreds of pieces of paper with thanksgiving and blessings and benefits that God has bestowed upon us. So because the camp was cut short and we didn't have to spend as much money giving to Camp Gregory for the $300 a night they charge and the food and so forth, that we were able to now return that blessing and use that in other ways. So God is a redeemer. Even though the camp didn't work out like we thought it might, God redeems that. So we're going to see that as part of the blessing, as in verse 4 it's talking about redemption. So just the first point I'm going to make here, and we'll excuse the kids, and we're going to just distribute what we would have spent that week. And the first one is something that was given to Gretchen from Wegmans, a gift card for $50. And we have a couple in our church that are silent in what they do, but they drive around with a truck and bless people. And they might have squash in the back of their truck. They might have cider. They might have maple syrup. They might have clothes. They might have a machine that you don't know what it does. It's a beautiful ministry they have, so I feel this belongs to them. And they can give it to whoever it might be. I might be done with this first point, and that might be the end of today if I can get through it. There was a car wash which raised $300-some, and there was cans collected, which brought us into the 400 and whatever range. And so we would like to use that money and bless Amber Hall with $500, okay, for college. There is, I'm gonna hand this to Mindy and Maddie though, as they're gonna be the ones that collect for you on this. And just as, but that's not the beginning seed of this. On the envelope, it says Isabella's, 92 cents. I was talking to you guys last week about having a clear conscience before God and about giving. You remember that? And I was like, I've got this doctrine in my head. I drilled through the scripture of balance it out, and I could dupe with anybody about tithing and is it for today? Is it for Israel? And all this stuff. I got all this head knowledge. And I was like, oh, okay, thank you for your word. And but now I want a clear conscience before you and giving. And so I want you to show me. I want you to really speak this truth into me. And it came manifest when I showed up to camp. And this little girl, who was 4 years old.
No, she's not.
Is she 5 or 6 now?
5, 6.
She's grown so fast.
I know.
But she couldn't wait. She was there before I got there. She couldn't wait for me to get there. She's there with her mom in the kitchen. And she comes barreling out of the kitchen and says, Pastor Paul, I've got something. I've got a gift to God. I got this gift. She was so excited. There wasn't anything brighter that day than the illumination that was on her face. And that she had the 92 cents in her hand, clutched tightly. And just looking up at me with a big smile and her freckles and her these big, huge eyes, ready to give to God. I was the first one baptized that day with the truth of God set apart. And that's the first seed in this envelope from our gift, is the 92 cents from Isabella. Jesus would equate that gift to the greatest gift when he saw the widow give up her substance, give it all to God. You see, Isabella didn't keep something in her pocket or just hand me a nickel out of what she had. She gave everything that she had, and she was excited and ecstatic to do so. Corinthians talks about giving hilariously, or it's bubbling out of you. It's an act of thanksgiving. So I am very privileged and humbled, and I'm in trembling right now, just in awe of the presence of God and His truth, to be able to present that to Maddie and Mindy as they gather on behalf of Amber and her college tuition. We will continue to bless children. For the first time in a couple of years this year, we'll be able to do the shipping for the Samaritan's Purse gifts to the children, which is, you know, Mark has had to cover that, and because, you know, our finances being low and so forth. But this year we'll be able to do that as well. We'll be able to cover that. So I look forward to that, to cover the shipping costs, to get the gospel to kids all over the world and to see that same smile come upon their face. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. I'm already a mess. All right. This is a good time to take a little siva here and pray for the Sunday school. So being 92 cents, I immediately looked up Psalm 92, of course, because I'm not a numbers guy. But it talked about thanksgiving and the overflow of the heart. So I, that night after camp, some night, I can't remember, this whole week has been like a year in itself or 1,000 years. It's just been so much this week. I'm sitting on the couch and I look over at the stack of books, a children's book, and it said something about thanksgiving. And I'm just there with Gretchen and the kids are in bed and all that stuff, and being put to bed. And it's like, I need to read that. And I'm trying to push that off, that feeling like that's weird. That I want to read this with Gretchen now. It's a kid's book about Thanksgiving. And it had a picture of a pumpkin pie on it with a, and so forth. And I pick it up, and it says on the top, Psalm 92. And that's when it all clicked, and that's when it all hit me, that God was speaking to me what giving is all about. It's an overflow of the Holy Spirit going within your heart. So I ordered that book immediately for Isabella. It's on its way. Maybe it will be there this week. So she's going to get a book in the mail and wonder what that is all about. But maybe Grandpa Roger can tell her. Psalm 92. So praise God. We thank you, Lord, for this time and opportunity to get into your word, Lord Jesus, even deeper, and to become infused with it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father God, I pray you just settle my mind and heart so I can focus on your word. I'm so excited, Lord. I feel like a little kid, and I just want to be like them with all that energy just spilling out running around. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Your translation might say, I will bless the Lord, but this is actually present tense, so that it's more about an active thing happening. Bless the Lord right now, my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. It's similar to Psalm 101. Remember, it's coming to that place where it's judgment unto or being separated unto something. Because we have this perfect judge in our life, God, who is now at the throne of our heart, we're able to be free. Psalm 101 was about freedom. And you see a person that is free, it's saying, I will do these things. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord. I will behave myself wisely. Psalm 103 is now bringing it right into the immediate sense. Not just saying, I will do it sometime, but the immediate sense. Right now, bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. This progress from I will to I am doing it, I'm going to do it right now, is faith. Connecting the future to the now is faith. Hebrews talks about that in the definition of faith. Hebrews 11:1 talks about it's the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance, the right now, the thing that's tangible of something that's hoped for. Connecting those two is faith. We've heard the term, of course, and expressed in the scripture, faith without works is dead. It's connecting those things, those promises of God, the word of God, to the now. It's bringing fruition now. It even connects us to the past in remembrance. And much of this psalm is about that, forgetting not his benefits. Faith is a time traveler. You're a time traveler because you possess faith. You can connect to the future. You can connect to the past. This phrase, bless the Lord, O my soul. How do we bless the Lord? How does my soul and all that is within me bless the Lord? How do I please the Lord? How would I bless the Lord? With faith. Hebrews 11:6 talks about, in fact, it's impossible to please God except for faith. We believe that he is, and also that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Faith is about now. Connecting the future to the now, bringing it into the now, and the past as well, bringing the memories of God, the testimonies of God into the now. Bringing it into worship, bringing it into prayer, bringing it into your mind so you can be saved in the moment from whatever is being progressed or whatever is taking place. Maddie was giving testimony of that, about tantrums and emotions and calling on God. That's a term of faith. You're calling on God. You're there in the immediate moment. You're transcending time and space and reaching out into the future. You're reaching out into the past. You're going in to be a time traveler and pulling in the power of God into this moment right now. The second half of the equation of faith is it's the evidence, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. The evidence, the past, the evidence, the what something took place here, the testimony. And there's something unseen with that. It speaks to us. Little Isabella's testimony didn't speak to me till I saw that book. It didn't fully speak to me. It was a beautiful moment, and I knew something was happening, but it didn't gel until that night. I was sitting on the couch and everything. You know, you're busy. You're carrying bags of ice. You just dented somebody's car. You got a lot of things going on. And you're like, wow, this is really powerful. What's happening right now? Her energy and everything like that. But I've got to get this stuff in the lodge and got to get down there and, you know, all this stuff going on. So God's patient and his time sitting there in the couch and the eyes glance over. And Mindy said, in fact, she brought that book in to be the book she would read to the kids tonight, and they said, no, we want something else. She brought it back, set it on top of the books. So God just had his hand in everything. And I knew that was something special I had to pick up. But praise God, that whole thing gelled. He brought into memory, I was a time traveler, faith, believing in God, something out of the past, what Isabella just did in recent past, bringing that forward, and now that faith started to bring fruit out. And I started to realize the presence of God in a great, powerful way that he was speaking to me indeed, this truth. And the truth makes us free. It really does. It brings us and enlarges us from this tiny little place of being this smarty pants know-it-all, that he breaks your little world with a little girl with freckles. He's awesome. Bless the Lord with all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Man, I could get into that. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God is good. We bless the Lord with faith, by expressing faith, by connecting the things of the past, bringing them into the now. Bless the Lord of my soul and forget not all his benefits. There's the term of the past, not forgetting. Do you remember the teaching about remembering? No? I guess we got to go over it again. That was the next, back a little bit in the Psalms, it was 77. So it was a few Psalms ago. Psalm 77 and 78, in particular, verse 12 of Psalm 77. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. I think we did that a little bit today. And I want to encourage more of that. It's one of the things I look forward to the most when we get together is to hear the testimony of the saints. I love the worship. I love preaching the word of God. But I love to hear the testimonies of the saints. That's the number one thing for me personally. Why I love this church. Why this is my favorite church. Right? I'm not looking for another one. I love it. I love when you guys give testimony. Declaring thy strength among the people. Goes on in verse 14. And Psalm 78 was all about that. You might still have it highlighted or underlined. Encourage you to do so when we were in there. Verse 7, not forgetting the works of God. In fact, verse 1 is like, hey, listen up. It's time to listen. And right now, it's time to listen and start to bring in the things from the past and the things from the future, the things of the future, the promises of God. This is what faith is. It's a time traveler. Forget not the works of God. Keep his commandments. In verse 11, forgetting his works and the problems that come with that. We can forget. I went 20 years at work forgetting a benefit. I couldn't believe it. It was such a bummer. I'm sitting there and realizing I'm going over the benefits. We all like our benefits, don't we? Yeah. Here, the benefits package at work, and it's like there's this little blurb in there that says, you get $100 with your vacation once a year. You've got to notify, though, the human resource office that you want your $100. You've got to notify them. You got to be aware of your benefits. Okay? Yeah. You got to bring it into the now. So, I sent an email pretty quickly. Hoping there was some chance there would be like, right? They would just shower me with $2,000 of forgotten benefits. No, just a cold answer. Nope, you're supposed to notify us. I felt like crawling out of the building. Like I was abused or something like that. No, the problem was me not realizing the benefits that I had, not pulling those into the now. Don't forget his works. Don't forget the benefits of God, what he's done and what he's going to do. Verse 35 of Psalm 78, and they remembered that God was their rock. There it is. Richard was talking about the rock yesterday. He went through a testimony. He didn't share it this morning. He shared it with me and a few others. at the house last night about getting locked out of his barracks and not having, basically having a t-shirt and with 24 hours, you saw the sun go up and down. So he went through a suffering experience. The Goliath he talked about, though, and this was a revelation that came to Richard, that David had the rock in his hand. It was the rock that took Goliath down. I thought that was awesome. Great revelation. God is our rock. They remembered that God is our rock. Verse 42, they remembered not his hand, the strength of God. Bless the Lord. Back to Psalm 103. O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not. Remember. I like how this phrase is in verse 1, that all that is within me. Jesus would talk about loving God with our heart, all of our strength, all our mind, our soul, all of this. Here it's all of that's within me. Instead of, you know, getting scientific and trying to say, okay, I'm going to get this tuned into God, and that's kind of how I think. I get mechanical with things. But it's all that's within me. That simplifies it. But I also like how Jesus phrased it too. Talks about your heart. There's these different things in you that are all need to get in alignment in blessing God and worship. All that is within me. This word soul here in verse 1 and 2, that's nephesh. It's a living creature. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2, the first use of that term. Be Genesis 1, actually, right? Verse 21, and God created great whales or fish or sea monsters, dinosaurs in the ocean, and every living creature that moves, that's nephesh, living creature. God said, let the earth, in verse 24, bring forth the living creature, the nephesh, the soul. In verse 30, to every beast of the earth, the fowl of the air, to everything that creeps upon earth, where there is life, nephesh, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. So separation of the nephesh from the plant kingdom, and one would be food for the other. Then in chapter 2, this is where nephesh is for us. Man became nephesh, a living soul. And this has meanings regarding breathing, especially the breath of life, and that's how that is used in the context, especially of chapter 2 in Genesis, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became nephesh, a breathing being, living creature, living soul. Very interesting how it progresses into nephesh being tied to the blood of man, and we see that in Genesis chapter 9. It's taken a little bit of a rabbit trail here on nephesh, our soul, from Psalm 103, because all of this needs to be in tune, in line with blessing the Lord. Our breath, our blood, our breath and our blood. Chapter 9, verse 4, this is after the fall, this is after the flood. Verse 4 of chapter 9, let's start with verse 3. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. So expanding our menu. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. So don't eat the blood. Why? Because there's life therein. So associating this life with blood. Nephesh now being associated with blood. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, at the hand of man, the hand of every brother will I require the life of man, capital punishment right there, because of the blood. Taking the blood from someone else is removing their life, their nephesh. So now we have breath and blood associated with our life. I think it's fascinating. I'm going even further down on this nephesh, all my soul, worshiping God, because we are called to be protectors of the nephesh. Mm-hmm. And that nefesh begins at conception. And in the scripture, it's even before that, and we'll get into that in a second here. We are called to be protectors of the nefesh. It's amazing and fascinating, the things that we discover as we pursue science and biology, medicine, and so forth, and we are compelled to do. It's wonderful that a believer brought the ultrasound to bear so that we could see with sound what was happening inside. All through the scripture, it talks about being conceived and born, both together. Conceived and born, recognizing both of those things being significant. Not just born, but conceived and born. Even Jesus himself, conceived and born, bringing significance to both of those. In that process, in utero, the baby's blood, we might think, or at least I thought in my trivial thinking, that mama's blood is just going through that tissue and making a baby. That is not true. There's something much more wonderful happening. The baby around day 18, you're talking about a speck here, starts to develop its own blood that will never mix with the mother. The nefesh is separate right there in the beginning, in the womb. But even before that, day 18, the programming and software that is going to develop that blood, what blood type it will be, when it will develop, how it will develop, the organs, the bone marrow that will develop it, is all in this genetic code in that first division of cells. Oh my goodness! Are you serious? The nefesh is written right there in that code as soon as that cell divides. As soon as conception happens. It's so wonderful that light is even given off, we discovered in the last decade, in that instant of life. There's a light given off. An explosion of magnesium inside the mom. We are called to be, with all of our being, all of our heart and soul, to protect nefesh. Your own nefesh, but also around us. The life that is around us. The blood, the breath. That blood that is forming in that young child will never, ever mix with the mom. In fact, if it does, there's a problem. There's a problem. It's never to be mixed. It's independent. There's two lives. Even before the software is written at conception for that, God had us in mind, it says. And actually, Ephesians 1:4, how about that? That he had us in his knowledge before he inscribed it on the DNA, the software, what we'd be like, what blood type we would have, and all of the nefesh properties. He had that in his mind. He had us in his mind before the foundation of the world, it says in Ephesians 1:4. Wow. Psalm 103. Hey, let's bless the Lord with all our nefesh, all of our life, all my soul. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Draw it out of the past into the now. And realize that God has brought you into this place to worship him, to be in strength, and draw it from the future and bring it into the now. Who forgives all thy iniquities. Now he's going to list. He's going to give us a list for you, those that like list. Here they are. You can list them out in your notes. He forgives. Number two, he heals. Number three, he redeems. Number four, he satisfies. Number five, he rules. Number six, he reveals. These are the benefits package listed just in Psalm 103. We know from Genesis to Revelation, this is a benefits package for mankind. It's a book that says, I love you. If you don't hear that, close it, open up it again, put your ear on it, and listen a little harder, because he's speaking to you. I love you. From Genesis to Revelation, through the fall, through the struggle, I love you. Verse 3, brings two of these. He forgives and he heals. I experience healing from the provision this week of the prayer of church combined with the work and skills of man, all the blessings of God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. I have experienced supernatural where no man has touched, not even a prayer from man. I'm worshiping God, and I've got a shoulder that has been messed up where I couldn't raise it above my head for several months. I'm sitting before the wood stove, and it's just like, when is this thing going to stop? And it was when our church was in our basement. Wasn't thinking about it, other than I realized both hands were up worshiping God one morning. I started doing that. It's a little self-conscience, but I wanted to do as much as I could without, you know, drawing attention to myself. Supernatural. God touched. He heals. God heals all my diseases. The provision might be different how it looks. I like that one a lot, but I also like this one that I got this week. And this one. I got a colonoscopy. I'm sorry. I got to put that out there. Oh, sorry. But I just got done teaching on Sunday about this. One of our presidents, a strong believer, Theodore Roosevelt, and how he took a bullet and he finished his presentation, his speech, with a bullet still on his chest, his shirt's all bloody. So, and he never missed church, even when he was a president, no matter how crazy it was. And it was crazy during his presidency. He got his leg operated on. He limped all the way to church because he couldn't, for some reason, there was no transportation at that time, but he actually walked 3 miles to church. So Wednesday, I got all this working up, and I'm preparing for the colonoscopy. Some of you might realize what that preparation is. You take 27 doses of laxative, 27 doses of laxative, three different kinds. And it's not working. Gretchen asks, and I says, well, maybe it's not made for real men, I said. Pride. Not a good idea. I wanted to go to Bible study. I really wanted to go. After being so supercharged, shoot me in the leg. Take a bullet chest. What? I'll get there. I'm going to get there. I got to get there. I didn't make it. Because God is good. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He's a good shepherd. He's always teaching me. He's always breaking me. He's always keeping me close to him. I thank you, Lord God, for the guys reaching out on the cell phone in my embarrassed time at home. Them not realizing what's going on and just bringing me into an audio of prayer connected with phones. I appreciate that. I appreciate the time in the room. I appreciate the scriptures sent. I appreciate the encouragement. I appreciate the pain and being able to identify after all these years and turn to my wife after 3 C-sections and say thank you and really mean it. Thank you. Thank you for what you went through. Thank you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, everything within me. He heals all my diseases, and the way he does things is perfect. Mindy wanted to see my scar. She also had a C-section, not 3, but just 1. She had the other 2 natural. But she has a scar, and so she wanted to see my scar, which is not as big. She said, what is that, just 1 inch? No, it's two. Hers is like four or whatever. So my gratitude to the ladies that have gone through whatever type of birth it is, through the pain of labor, increased tremendously in my suffering in those areas. Good enough for He heals all my diseases. Can we move on? These are the benefits of God, these trials. These are the benefits of God. Even in pain, it's beneficial for us. He calls us to gather together and lay hands on, and I've seen plenty of times healings come through that, immediate or afterwards. We were in prayer last night. There was a prayer request that came in before we sat down, and the answer came right after. We were rejoicing for the prayer that came after. He forgives, He heals. This forgiveness is really going to be broken out in, from verse 13 on, so I'm going to come back to that. The redemption, that God will take any situation, the craziest situations, and He redeems them. I shared about at baptism about the shopping cart that got away from me. I had five bags of ice. It was built like a tank. It was, you know, a 100-pound shopping cart, pretty much. You know, it was loaded up. And the Big M in Union Springs is built on a hill. And there goes my shopping cart smashing into a new car as I turned around getting ready to put the stuff in. He redeemed that moment. He redeemed that time by being able to interact with other people, by them being able to see somebody that is honest and true and almost seeing, thinking I was a ghost. Are you for real? I'm going to touch and see if I was physically real. Just from being honest, that's how far we've gone as a culture. He redeems the time. The Camp Gregory looked like just a complete wash. No, God redeems that time. You saw the benefits going out from that today. God's redeeming that. Bless His name. Bless the Lord. The fourth thing is He's satisfied. He satisfies. There is a lot in Psalm 103. I think we'll stop with satisfying, and I'll talk about salt for a moment. But I haven't even got through half of what I wanted to cover today in Psalm 103. It's a tremendously packed, and for me, just it's abundantly revealing. He satisfies. Salt is just an amazing thing. Jesus would said, you are the salt of the earth. In other words, be salt. If a salt loses its saltiness, it's not worth anything. So he's encouraging us to be salt. You are salt. Be it. Be salt. It satisfies, though. Isn't it the most amazing thing is that this compound that preserves the food also makes it satisfying as well at the same time. Studying the chemistry of this, of course, Jesus didn't break out in that, but I will. The creator of this salt even has more mystery built into it. The satisfaction, this idea of satisfaction, is built right into salt itself. Two atoms, sodium and chlorine. Very unstable. Sodium is very unstable. It's a metal. Throw it in water, explodes. It's very unstable. Chlorine is very unstable. It reacts. It oxidizes. You put it on your skin, you put it on your clothes, it eats it. It eats anything organic. Great for cleaning things. Not so great to drink, obviously, or anything like that. It's caustic. It's reactive. So those are those two atoms that make up salt. Sodium chloride. You're familiar with that. You put the two together. Sodium is unstable because it has an extra electron. Yet, It's not negatively charged. It has an equal amount of protons at its nucleus as it has electrons. So it's by itself, it's complete in a sense, but it has something extra to get. Chlorine is kind of missing one in that outer band of electrons. That makes it unstable. You get the two together, the one gives to the other, and in that giving, one becomes positively charged, the other becomes negatively charged. Now they attract. I have a whole teaching on marriages coming out from this. I'm not going to get into that this morning. Only getting into the idea of what satisfaction is, and it goes into marriage, goes into relationships besides marriage, marriage being the pinnacle. Satisfies. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is talking all about relationships. He talks about the salt, and then he talks all about relationships, a brother having aught against another, giving a gift without having forgiveness, adultery he talks about, divorce he talks about. He talks about all of these things in the context of relationships with God and other people. And he talks about us being salt, unstable until we are together, united. Unstable. We have something to give. Giving brings us into that place of stability, the gift of God. Jesus is the gift of God to man. That brings us into unity with God. We are in Him and with Him. He is in us. And that is satisfying. What is caustic, reactive, and not very healthy becomes something that is healthy and satisfies, salt, and preserves. Father God, I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. We are just dusting off this particular psalm. There's much more to glean from that. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your people that are in front of me, Lord God. You've got great things for them to walk in. Just even today, Lord God, you've got things for them to do. Lord Jesus Christ, this nefesh that is all in here, Lord God, is knit together. Koinonia, Lord God, we cry out to you as one body, saying thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Be a part of our lives today. Go before us, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.